Friends, my name's Murray, and I'm going to read the same passage in English. You can find that on your information sheets on the inside if you would like to follow along. Let me pray before we hear from God's word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that at Christmas time we can remember the amazing events that you have sent your Son Jesus into the world as Saviour. As we listen to you this morning, please give us the courage to put your words into action in our lives. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, starting from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thanks for reading, Murray and Rhoda. And it is a great privilege to be speaking to you. This is going to be my last Bible talk here at Wente before Catherine and I move on next year up north. So it's been such a joy to be with you this past year or so. And as we dig into God's Word together, I'm just going to pray again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we have prayed, so we pray again. Would you help us understand your words to us this morning? Would we take great comfort in them? And would you work them in our hearts that we would bear fruit in our lives by your Holy Spirit? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's the romance of the year. Prince Harry and actress Meghan Markle are now engaged to be married. Hooray! You would have been hard-pressed to miss the news every time you'd flick on the news. Pictures of them walking from place to place. They've just come from the movies. Oh, they've just come from a royal function. Oh, they've just come from the shops. Apparently the life of a royal requires a lot of walking. And who would have thought? Prince Harry, the party prince, finally looking to tie the knot. But of course, with an actress, just to shake things up a little bit. But thankfully, the Queen apparently approves. Well, in today's passage, we have another romance blossoming. It's the romance we remember every year. The romance between a girl called Mary and a guy called Joseph. And we read in today's passage, in verse 18, that they are betrothed. Or engaged to be married. What a lovely romantic situation. Guy meets girl, they fall in love, they get engaged, girl gets pregnant without guy's help, guy chooses to raise the child anyway, on it goes. But there's nothing like an unexpected birth of a child to shake things up a little bit, is there? But of course, it's not your typical romance, is it? And in fact, to reduce today's passage to a romance between a guy and a girl who have a child together, well, that's to commit the biggest of blunders, really, isn't it? Because it's not really about the guy or the girl at all, is it? Sure, they play a part in these events, but they only have supporting roles in what is the most amazing event to have ever occurred in human history. So who is this main person in these events? Who is it all really about? Well, Matthew tells us right at the beginning of today's passage, it's about a person called Jesus Christ. And we read that what we have here in today's passage is actually all about his birth. Or rather, the origins, the beginning of the narrative, which will lay the foundation for the rest of Matthew's eyewitness account. This also tells us that according to Matthew, what takes place at what we call Christmas time is about so much more than getting gifts, giving gifts, or turkey, or time with family, or even cricket. I know, as good as these things are. Now, according to Matthew's account of these events, it's all about the beginning of the events concerning a person called Jesus Christ. He is the reason for the season. And so, according to Matthew, today's passage can't be divorced, pun intended, from this account of what took place over 2,000 years ago. But spoiler alert, the events of today's passage ultimately lead, as we've heard, to a Roman cross. And then this man, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, never to die again, and ushering in a whole new world beyond the bounds of life here and now. We read in today's passage, look with me at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Even before our main man Jesus is born, we are told he is very special. He is conceived from the Holy Spirit. In other words, God himself has chosen to enter Mary's womb. But how, we might ask? Surely this is made up. Surely this can't be real. You might be sitting there thinking, I have enough trouble believing that there is a God who exists, let alone the idea that this God would be able to impregnate a woman. It's almost like an alien movie, really, isn't it? If you think about it a bit too much. And yet this question will get answered in a way we might not expect. A little later, a surprise like before. So Mary is pregnant by the action of God. Well, man, how would you respond if your fiancée told you that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Come on now, really? Well, what's Joseph's reaction? Look with me at verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, engagement in those days was a far more certain thing than it is these days. It was a lot more formalized, and you could only break off the engagement with divorce. And so after a year or so of engagement, the man would take the woman home to be his wife. And so for the woman to conceive during the engagement, apart from the man, well, this was most shameful. And according to Jewish law, she would be trialed as an adulteress. So no wonder that Joseph plans to divorce her. Although he doesn't want her to put her to shame publicly, nevertheless, he knows what he has to do. He plans to divorce her, but he does it secretly. Now imagine if the story ended there. What a tragic series of events that would be. But then another amazing thing happens. Look with me at verse 20. After considering this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." God intervenes again, confirming Mary's story. What your soon-to-be wife, what she told you, is in fact the truth. "It's not you, it's me," God says. Don't be afraid to follow through with the commitment of marriage and take Mary home to live with you. And so we read down in verse 24 that when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And so Joseph obeys what the angel tells him in his dream. He wakes up, chooses to raise the child with Mary. Well, what a lovely ending to a rather unusual story. Well, that's what happened. But hang on, what does it all mean? Well, in verses 21 to 23, we have a little explanation of these events. And this explanation is actually Matthew's focus in this passage. You know, as important as the virgin birth is, according to Matthew, and the rest of the New Testament for that matter, the virgin birth pales into comparison compared to the identity of the child whom Mary would bear. You see, it's not about how, it's about who. Look with me at verse 21. The angel tells Joseph in this dream that Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, there's more than meets the eye to this naming of the child Jesus, and it comes in explanation which the angel gives. You see, he will save his people from their sins. Now, this is a truly remarkable statement for two reasons. Firstly, it unveils the reality that all God's people need salvation. For Jews in first century Palestine, life had never been the same ever since that they were taken off into exile. You see, exile was their punishment. They continually rejected their God. And it was this God who had led them previously out of slavery to the Egyptians. It was this God who gave them the law under Moses and a kingdom under David. It was this God who gave them life and blessing. Such life and blessing that they were to proclaim and to share with the nations around them. And so they were taken off into exile, for they rejected their God. But even since coming back from exile, back into their land, life still wasn't the same. They looked for the day when God would put everything right. Completely right. Perfectly right. They knew, they looked for the day of salvation. But this need for salvation isn't just for Jews in first century Palestine. Now, the Bible tells us the whole world is in need of salvation. And you know, in our heart of hearts, I believe that we all agree with this truth, don't we? We look out at the world around us and we know that there is something deeply disturbing about the way things are. We see people hurting one another. We see people destroying the environment, and the environment destroying people's lives. We see people dying nearly every day. And these realities aren't distant from us, are they? We experience these realities every day in our very own lives. We get hurt. We hurt others. We see people on the news who are battered by natural disasters. The world at times seems to be working against us, destroying homes and communities all around the world. The world appears to be broken, erratic, and going from organized matter to chaos. But most hurtful and devastating of all, we experience death and disease, the loss of loved ones, the pain of seeing a loved one go through terminal illness until the day we say goodbye to them. You see, friends, the Bible says there is a reason for all the brokenness we see and experience in our world and inside ourselves. The reason the Bible gives is that ultimately the hostility that we experience is evidence of a greater hostility towards the God who created all things, including us. We have rejected God, our Maker. And so God, being a perfectly just and holy God, he must punish such rejection of him. And so the world, including all humanity, is under the just judgment of God the Creator. And so if we want to think about baby Jesus lying in an animal feeding trough at Christmas time, well, according to Matthew at least, it must include our understanding that we and our whole world need saving from our sins. It dawns on us when we meet our lowest point, when we're surprised by just how unloving we can be. We all need saving, don't we? Well, secondly, Jesus, he is the one who is going to save his people from their sins. And at this point, if we haven't already, we might tune out. You know, this is familiar to so many of us, and we take it for granted. But you see, at the time of the announcement to Joseph, the prediction that his son would save his people from their sins, well, that was totally radical. Because according to the Jewish scriptures, only God can truly save his people from their sins. And this is a recurring theme throughout the whole Old Testament. For example, we read in Isaiah 43, which if you've got your information sheet, is on your bonus material in that little white handout. We read in Isaiah 43, and this is when God's people were cut off from the promised land and they were in exile, as I mentioned earlier. And this is what he said to them: "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour." You see, only the God who created all things can redeem all things. Only he can save his people from the punishment that our sins deserve. The Bible says that the problem of our sin is so great that only God can truly make things right again. And so, are you beginning to see what the angel is actually telling Joseph in his dream? If only God can save his people from their sins, and the baby in Mary's womb, who is to be given the name Jesus, will in fact become a man who will save God's people from their sins, then what we have here in the angel's explanation is this: Jesus. Jesus is God in human flesh. God in our midst. What is growing in Mary's womb and whom Joseph will take legal responsibility for as its father is nothing else but the Son of God. God in human flesh. And just in case we're unfamiliar with what God said to his people centuries before Joseph and Mary came on the scene, Matthew quotes from Isaiah again, from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, just to help us connect the dots. In that quote, this child whom Mary will bear will be called Emmanuel, Not so much the name that he'd wear on a name tag, but a name which would describe who he is. Now, not many people are given names that describe them these days, although I have heard that there is a lawyer in the US whose name is Sue Yu. There is a French goalkeeper whose name is Dominic Dropsy. Or you might think of Usain Bolt, the Jamaican sprinter. There's also a Dutch architect, I believe, whose name is Rem Koolhaas. That's a big standard to live up to. I do hear as well, we have some friends here whose dentist is named Dr. Payne. So hopefully that's a pleasant experience at the dentist there. But you see, for Jesus, the name which captures his mission, him, which describes him, is Emmanuel, which, as Matthew tells us, means God with us. God the Creator, the God of the universe, with us. No longer against us, not indifferent to us, not even distant from us. No, God with us. And so if we want to not only enjoy Christmas time, nor even just to remember the Christmas story, but celebrate it the way that Matthew would have us celebrate it, then we need to know the mission of this man Jesus, this little baby here in the manger, whom Mary and Joseph would raise to adulthood. His mission as God in human flesh, to save his people from their sins. And how? Well, thankfully, Matthew himself has carefully researched and recorded Jesus' life and earthly mission. And so I encourage you, read Matthew's account of Jesus' life and mission yourself, or with a friend. Don't take my word for it. Look into Jesus for yourself. It's the most important thing you will ever do. The most important decision you will ever make. And there's plenty of evidence out there to help us investigate who this man Jesus is. Matthew himself assures us that the arrival of the baby boy Jesus is nothing short of God coming to dwell with humanity. And so it's not just a case of the boss coming down the ladder to serve with the employees. It's not simply a case of the undercover boss coming to work in disguise with the plebs. Now, the God who made all things exists outside time and space. He's not just a bigger version of us, like many of us would like to believe. No, friends, he's far greater, far more powerful, far more perfect, more holy than we could ever imagine. He is something else altogether. He is so powerful that the Bible says he upholds the universe just by his word. He brings life into being just by speaking. He ultimately holds the power of life and death. He is the God. This is the God who has come to dwell with humanity, who entered the virgin's womb to be born as a baby boy. And this ought to blow our minds. And once it does, once we grasp the scale of this surprising event, it changes our lives, doesn't it? Because it means that when we're feeling lonely or alone, if we entrust ourselves to Jesus, we can know that God, the God who made us, is with us. Wherever we go, whatever we do. Now, Christmas time can especially be a lonely time, can't it? We remember lost loved ones. We're reminded of broken relationships which have torn families apart. But Christmas time is not about family and getting presents, nor even doing good things for people, primarily. No, Christmas time is about so much more than all that. It's about God, the Creator, coming down to save people who are lost and to live with them now and into eternity. And friends, you can savour that truth, whether you have a little or a lot at Christmas time. But we must entrust ourselves to this faithful God to receive this great blessing. Now, there's a story of a man who had a terribly unfaithful wife. She had gone off on a number of affairs with a number of other men. But her husband, he chose, determined to continue forgiving her and loving her. He'd even write her love letters to try and win back her love. He would use the most eloquent language to convince her to be faithful to him, to win and woo her heart. Just when he thought he'd reached the end of the road with her, one day she turned up at the front door. And he said to her, "What convinced you to come back to me after all this time? Was it my love letters? Was it my eloquent language?" And she said, "No, it wasn't any of those things. It was simply the fact that you came for me. You came for me." And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the day when God came for us, when we were unfaithful to him. Jesus is nothing less than God in human flesh who has come to save us from God's judgment and assure us of his love to give us life. Through Jesus, God offers us complete forgiveness and eternal life through him. Now, we may never understand how, but thank God that we can know the who behind it all. And what deeper joy than to know the who behind it all. Well, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for coming to save us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to save us, to give us life again. And so we pray that at this Christmas time, we would take comfort in the knowledge of your love assured us in Jesus, that we would share this love with others as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.